Now, one may ask at this point why it is that the White Lotus Sutra in chapter 5 introduces, as it were, suddenly introduces this, as it were, vegetable symbolism. Why does it start talking in terms of plants and their growth? No doubt some people would say it's accidental, it just happens like that. But I don't personally believe that. I believe that the introduction of this sort of symbolism of life and growth at this point has a very definite purpose. I think it's intended as a corrective. Now one may ask, a corrective to what? It's intended as a corrective to the previous parables when taken literally. Now, if one looks back at the previous parables, what does one find? One finds in the parable of the burning house that the children are induced to come out of the building. First they're inside the building, and then later on in the parable, they're outside the building. So what has happened? A change of place. A change of place has occurred. They were inside the house, now they're outside the house. And it's the same in the myth of the return journey. The poor man comes home. First of all, he's in a distant country. And then he's nearer at hand. He's in his father's city, and then in his father's house. So here too, there is a change of place. Now the general meaning of both these parables is quite clear, especially when they're taken in the full context of the sutra itself. But even so, there's a danger. There's a danger that, unthinkingly, we shall take certain details in the parables rather too literally, and in this way, again, unthinkingly, misinterpret the whole process of the spiritual life. In both parables, the children and the poor man are represented as making a sort of journey. In the first case, it's a short journey from inside the house to outside. In the other, it's a comparatively long journey. But both the children and the poor man are represented as moving in space. If you take the parable literally, as moving in space. Now one may ask, what is the characteristic feature of movement in space? The characteristic feature of movement in space as such is that the moving object changes its position, but it does not itself change. In other words, whatever change takes place is external, it is not internal. Now we know, we've surely understood by this time, that the whole spiritual life is a process of development. It's a development of life, that's the lower evolution. It's a development of consciousness, that's the higher evolution. And development is, of course, a kind of change. Now, if the parables are understood literally, then the whole process of spiritual development, of the higher evolution, will be understood in terms of external change and not in terms of internal change. Which means that we shall, as it were, consciously or semi-consciously think of the self as passing through experiences, having experiences, traversing stages, but as it were itself remaining through it all unchanged. Now you might think that I'm rather labouring this point, or you might even think that I'm rather flogging a dead horse. But the misunderstanding does represent a very real danger. a danger that anybody is likely to encounter or even to succumb to. It isn't very difficult to study Buddhism. It isn't very difficult to study the whole of it. At least in outline, it isn't very difficult to study the history of Buddhism, to become acquainted with all the doctrines, and to study the different steps and stages of the path. And one can even in this way think of oneself as actually traversing them. But all the time one will only be traversing them mentally. Now, with regard to very, very far on stages like the stage of Nirvana itself, we may be sort of aware that our understanding of it is only theoretical. But we may not be so clearly aware. In fact, if we're not careful, we certainly will not be so aware that even our knowledge, even our understanding of the earlier stages is also quite theoretical. And that we're not passing through those stages in actual experience, but only passing through them mentally. That is to say, externally. There's no internal change taking place at all. And it's to prevent this sort of misunderstanding that the sutra, the White Lotus Sutra, at this point introduces what I've called its vegetable symbolism. In other words, at this point or from this point, it replaces the symbol of the path, the symbol of the journey, by another symbol, the symbol of the plant. In the symbol of the path, in the symbol of the journey, there are two factors apparently. There's the path itself, and then there's the person treading the path. The path is one thing, the person treading the path is another. But in the symbolism of the plant, there's only one factor. The previous two factors, as it were, come together. They fuse, they join. And the plant itself is the process of growth and of development. So here, there's no possibility of any such misunderstanding. Instead of thinking of ourselves as traversing a path, we now think of ourselves as plants, as living and as growing things. And the only question that arises here is, what stage of development have we reached? As we look at ourselves, what do we think? Do we think that we are buds? Maybe still submerged in the water, if not in the mud, or that we are half-open flowers, or do we perhaps even think that we're in full bloom?